The Future of the Army Commission has been working on its recommendations, and it's taken a while, but now the commission finally has released its report on what the Army needs to do to remain strong in the coming decades. Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni was at the commission's unveiling and brings us what it said.
The National Commission on the Future of the Army made 63 recommendations on how to better the service. I caught up with Vice Chairman of the Commission, Thomas Lamont, to ask about some of the key findings, which include a minimum active force of 450,000 troops.
The commission was formed to follow the guidance of some very specific guidance from the Congress, one of which was to respond to the Apache helicopter issue, which had been an issue of controversy between the Army and the Guard. The Army sought, under what was called ARI, the Army Reconstruction Initiative, to remove all the Apache helicopters from the Guard and take them inside the active component. Obviously, there was objections that came from the National Guard, and so that was one of our very specific objectives, was to try to respond and come up with an appropriate answer to that. Secondly, we were said, and while you're there, let's look at the overall Army structure, your force structure, your capabilities, your capacities, the mix between your soldiers and the Guard and the reserves and the active component. Do we have it right in the numbers and the in strength, again, in the capabilities? Do we have, and which means what kind of units do you have? If you have armor units in the Guard, is that good? We also have engineer units in the reserves. I think all the engineer units are in the reserves. Should that be the appropriate mix? So that's what we were looking at. We were trying to look at those two specific questions. And I think you'll see in our recommendations that we tried to come to grips with that in the research that we did. As General Hamm said, we met with so many of those stakeholders, from the active duty component to almost every tag, adjutant general in the Guard, to governors who are their commanders and chiefs of the state. So obviously they have a role to play in here. They have their own opinions. But with all the combatant commanders, we met with the secretariat level of the Army. We met with DOD. We met with some of our fellow DOD other service members who rely upon the Army to respond to some of them. And obviously we rely upon the Air Force, for instance, for a lot of assistance for our ground troops. So we talked to all the stakeholders to arrive where we did. But the Congress also caveated this and said, do this within anticipated resources and within acceptable risk to the nation. So that put some caveats on this.
And would you mind just going over a few of the key recommendations, at least to you?
Well, as General Hamm, our chairman, said, an overarching recommendation is the maintaining the volunteer force. Now, there is no clamoring out there to go to a draft, but if we are going to keep a force at the level that we think we can anticipate, with a shrinking cohort, it means the age groups, of the 18 to 25-year-old man or woman who we try to seek to join our service, that is shrinking. And roughly about 1/3 of them now are sufficiently qualified in terms of their health, in terms of their behavioral and misconduct background, or perhaps drug use or physical concerns. We have a very shrinking population of which we can draw from. So the volunteer force is very important to us. Then we looked at obviously trying to respond to the Apache question. And the determination was it was inappropriate for all the Apache helicopters to go into the active component. And we said that for a variety of reasons. One, we looked at wartime capacity, and we felt we had greater capacity with using some in the Guard. Let me back up in here and tell you what we did. We recommended 20 combat aviation battalions in the active force, which is their recommendation as well. But we also recommended that the National Guard keep 4 combat aviation battalions there. And as I said, we looked at several different conditions: wartime capacity, our surge capability in terms of an emerging conflict. We looked at the rotational tempo that the active aviation folks are under now. In other words, they are spinning and they're bogged well and deployments more and more and more often, and with four in the guard, that could help them. And we also looked at cost. And an overarching goal, of course, was to the one Army concept that we continue to refer to, a total force, which means if we only have Apaches in the active component, it breaks that one Army construct. And we didn't think that was advisable at all. But we got more wartime capacity with four guard battalions, and depth, the surge capacity in case of an emerging conflict. This maintains an additional 280 pilots in the National Guard. So if we have to reach back for a more longer-term conflict, we do have the capacity to bring them forward, and brings us the needed depth to win our wars.
Right. And just for a little background, for listeners that aren't familiar with that Apache helicopter situation, would you mind explaining just a little bit of the background on how that worked between the...
We tend to talk about two different types of helicopters in the military. One is the Apaches, which is a very advanced attack helicopter. It is highly armed. It is of great force on the battlefield. The other one, which I think a lot of your listeners may be more commonly referred to, is the Black Hawk. You see them occasionally flying overhead. They are considered for lift and capacity and carrying and assault. In other words, soldiers can get in those helicopters and be moved. That doesn't happen in Apache. It's purely an attack helicopter. So that's the difference. And some folks would say, well, why do you need attack helicopters in the Guard? You don't see them in domestic responses. Well, of course not. But why do we have armor in the Guard? Why do we have infantry units in the Guard? Because of the necessity of a reserve component to surge forward in the time of conflict. And let me just also suggest, the Army is an insurance policy, and by that I mean the total force Army. It's expensive to maintain, but you better have it when you need it. It's just like your insurance policy.
I think one of the more interesting parts was that you said the 450 minimum of active duty soldiers was kind of an acceptable amount for national security. Eric Fanning, who is nominated to be the Army Secretary, he said he was a little ambivalent on that. Why you had the opportunity to kind of up that? Why didn't you do that?
Well, again, we were given specific parameters in our authorization. Look at anticipated future resources and current resources versus an acceptable risk. Yeah, we're worried. But given the resources we have, we don't see those numbers going up. We don't have the money to raise, to increase the numbers of our soldiers, given the resources that we have. So looking at the risk and the shortfalls we have now, we are concerned. But if that, and we, you mentioned a 450 force, I'd almost prefer to talk in terms of a 980 force, 450 in the active component, 335 in the Guard, 195 in the reserves. That 980 force, we believe is sufficient if it's properly resourced. And by that I mean trained and ready and equipped. We think we can do the job within acceptable risk. But as the strategic environment starts to shift, then, and I think Mr. Fanning is looking at that as well, we would concur that we might have to make some changes as that strategic environment changes.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.